We said yesterday there's a permanent solution for the enemy, as in dealing with President Trump, either life in prison from a kangaroo court, or they just finish him off altogether. Uncensored, unafraid, and unstoppable. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu. So have we put too much trust in Elon Musk, speaking of censorship? That's a critical question that the right has to be asking as we close in on the one-year mark of Musk's buying Twitter. Now, without a doubt, we will say Musk's version of Twitter, or X, has been an improvement over its predecessor. It has less censorship. Thousands of banned users have been allowed to return. Hundreds of useless liberal parasites and power-hungry purple-haired freaks lost their jobs, and that's great. But are we just waiting for the other foot to drop? So Musk named this former NBC executive and World Economic Forum allied Linda Yaccarino as Twitter's CEO, and she's spoken in favor of greater censorship. So there's reports now that Musk is low on cash reserves for Twitter. And why does that matter? Well, simple. Because Musk might have to consent to greater censorship to increase ad revenues. And then there's simply Musk's own mercurial behavior, which has involved lots of arbitrary behavior the entire time he's been in charge at Twitter. Musk has also rolled out this new program. The program pays users whose tweets get high engagement. But he suggested that users who are flagged heavily by advertisers will get lower payouts. What does that mean? In other words, it will end up exactly like every other social media platform. Plenty of money for the left, but conservative content creators like us here at the Stu Peters Network will be blacklisted and frozen out of earning a living. And now there's Twitter's new policy that users of Twitter Blue need to verify their identities using government-issued IDs, whose information will be forwarded to an Israeli software company, which of course means Israeli military intelligence is getting access to the data of every Twitter user. That sounds insane, but it's exactly what's happening. So when all is said and done, it could well be the case that the one-year mark of Twitter's purchase will be right back where we started. Censorship will be back. The left will be making money, but not the right. And instead of FBI spying, we'll just have the spying by Mossad. And who are we kidding? The FBI will probably still be spying too. So all of that means, of course, that we will still have to be working to build our own online platforms for conservative voices and free speech. We can't count on mercurial billionaires to do the work for us. Nate Fisher is founder and CEO of New Founding, a venture firm and talent network that's looking to build a new parallel economy to the left-wing dominated one that we live in now, and he joins us now. Nate, thank you so much for joining us this evening. We appreciate you being here.
Thank you, Stu.
Yeah, of course. So, I mean, Elon Musk is signaling by hiring Linda Yaccarino, and Linda Yaccarino is signaling by simply saying it out loud, we are going to move back to the era of censorship. Do you predict that Twitter or X will even be around by the time the 2024 staged pro wrestling show called Elections comes around?
So I tend to refrain from making predictions. What I like to do is I like to think about the range of possibilities. Think of the sort of structural forces, the range of possibilities. I think it's very hard to predict what Musk is going to do. It's very hard to predict Musk's behavior generally. And it's also, I think, hard to predict political dynamics. I'm on the record predicting that we should expect and anticipate a much wider range of outcomes than I think most people default to, which could include everything from X is radically more powerful and far different from what many people anticipate, to it's basically the same as it is today, to it's basically back to how Twitter was operating before Musk bought it. I think all of those are in the range of possibility, and I don't know in a complex system like this that it's something that I would put too much stock in any one prediction there. I think we should be prepared. We should understand and be prepared.
But are they really predictions? I mean, they're actually saying out loud that that's what they intend to do.
Yes, I think they do. I think that at the same time, Musk has a lot of business interest in remaining somewhat distinct from the other ones. He also has said out loud that he wants to be very anti-censorship in many ways. So I think there's conflicting messages here. I don't highly, what I would say is, I don't trust Musk as some sort of savior. No question about that. No question that we need alternatives. We need things that are set up to serve our needs, regardless of what Musk does. At the same time, I think we recognize that Musk does have some major structural conflicts with the left. The biggest one is he's never going to get to Mars if he has to follow DEI and lefty HR policies. So he knows that to some extent the left is an enemy of his ultimate vision.
Get to Mars. So Instagram, Facebook, these are clearly not alternatives. TikTok is a CCP programming, indoctrination, brainwashing, propaganda site. The only one that I can see, which I've oftentimes called the Alamo of free speech, is Andrew Torba's Gab. But there's just not a mass appeal to Gab. I mean, there seems to be, you know, a lot of people there, but not, you know, the influx of people, obviously, that went flooding back into Twitter off of Telegram when Elon Musk came in, people who do view him as a free speech savior. So what is an alternative?
So I like Andrew, and I think what Andrew's doing at Gab is great. What Andrew's doing is intentionally somewhat narrower, though. I think he is building Gab as a community for a sort of core group of people. My contention is aside from someone like Andrew, who's deeply hardcore, fully committed to a particular vision, it's not even necessarily about the value system of the owner. Big businesses are going to tend to have people who in many cases follow sort of there's structural forces in business. So I'm a fan of more open software, whether it's blockchain, whether it's something else, open source, open protocols. I think that something that has a structurally open system combined with probably a range of different curation algorithms, you choose your curation algorithm, is the only thing that can really protect us from threats of censorship. I mean, we've seen time and again that even supposedly conservative organizations end up being compromised. And I don't think that's a coincidence. I think when you have lots of pressure, anyone who's running a large organization has pressure points that can be pushed in certain directions. So what I like is something where the technology itself, it would make it impossible for even a federal judge to order the person who's running that to censor someone. And once you've tied your hands in that way, then it can't be done. And then a lot of those structural levers go away.
Yeah. I know one thing that Torba's not doing for sure over at Gab. He's not sending my information to Israel. And that's a really big deal. I mean, don't you see that as a major threat for users of X?
So I'm of two minds about this. I would say I don't particularly trust a lot of the companies in the U.S. that much more than Israel. So it's not the sending it to Israel part that necessarily stands out to me. I think that once they have that information, it's probably in the hands, as you noted at the beginning, it's in the hands of the FBI, it's in the hands of the same sort of people who are trying to put Trump in jail right now, who've declared that domestic extremism is their greatest the greatest priority. So,
but I think the people that are trying to put Trump in jail right now are beholden to Israel.
No doubt they are, but I'm saying I don't see the fact that the company is located here or there as necessarily the big operative point. I think that if they have that information about you, you should fully expect that it's probably in the hands of people who will use it against you, regardless of where that company is regardless of where the identity verification company is located. So I would kind of think of identity verification. It has merit. Ultimately, those are government issued IDs. They're probably in the hands of all those people already in many cases. It doesn't deeply trouble me. I also tweet under my real name. I'm also very open about this. I think that it doesn't seem necessary, though. Like, I would say there's two things, right? There's two ways. There's several benefits to verification. One is an element of skin in the game. It just combats spam. If you are paying for your account creates a level of skin in the game that suggests that you're not just a random spammer. And that's a substitute for needing to prove a real world identity. So I would suggest that one option should be, you can pay for something, but you don't necessarily need to do so in a way that's tied to any identity verification. There's reasons that certain figures who are likely to be impersonated may choose to undergo verification that invariably is going to involve some compromise of their personal information. I think that should be a trade-off that people who pursue that can make. They can consider the sort of costs and benefits of that. But ultimately, I think that I would like to see a system where there's multiple ways of sort of proving that skin in the game and proving you're not just a random spam bot.
Yeah, well, whatever. I mean, people are being targeted. You know, people for speaking out, whistleblowers, people that choose to remain anonymous are doing so because we live under an empire of lies and a murderous regime. We have a militarized, you know, federal Gestapo that will come and arrest you for wrong think, for speaking at a school board meeting. So obviously people in the Twitter sphere want to stay anonymous for certain reasons. If they're, you know, divulging secrets from, you know, the DOD or the DOJ or their insiders. I mean, there's a lot of people that have legitimate reasons to stay anonymous in today's current times of, you know, Black Lives Matter.
Absolutely.
Or Antifa burning your house down or threatening your children's lives at their public schools. So I mean, getting rid of that and then asking people for their IDs with their address and then sending it to a foreign country, a country, by the way, that's responsible for murdering U.S. naval seamen on the USS Liberty and has shown aggression towards our country on many occasions. I just see that as completely irresponsible. Shocking, really. I don't know why we would be trying to justify that.
I think it's troubling. I think it's troubling if it's mandatory. I think my advice to people would, in many cases, people will probably just choose not to get verified. It's going to decrease their reach. That's unfortunate. It's a reason that I think Twitter cannot be relied on as the it can't be relied on as the sort of panacea for problems on the right. I don't trust that their anonymity is extremely important. Let's put it that way. Yeah. 100% agree.
What about this Linda
Yaccarino? Pseudonymity is. I don't know much about Linda. I mean, I think that in some sense, a lot of corporate people like her sort of respond to. I would expect that she largely does what Musk wants her to do. That would be my bet. That she strikes me
so
as someone who
when she comes
more.
In and openly says we're going to freedom of speech does not mean freedom of reach. That means censorship. Yep. We're going to appeal to advertisers, which is her NBC executive experience. And then, you know, most importantly, her relationship with the World Economic Forum as a Klaus Schwab sycophant. I mean, that's pretty nerve wracking. So if Elon Musk hired her to do a job, she hasn't been fired yet. That means that she's doing the job that he hired her to do at a satisfactory level. And so isn't it safe to say that Elon Musk hired her to do exactly what it is that she's doing right now?
I would say yes. I think that without question, what you said, as I said, I don't know that she has her own agenda. I think that she's probably executing Elon Musk's agenda. It's possible that Musk is playing, and I wouldn't put this past Musk. It's possible Musk is sort of trying to send multiple signals. He's hiring someone who's going to try to reassure certain people, even as he's going to try to draw the line on certain things, or he's going to move toward technology that limits ability to do some of this. So I don't know all of what Elon Musk has up his sleeve. I don't think that Linda is out there in some sense. Musk wants someone who's saying what Linda's saying to be in this role without question. I don't know that she's out there as a renegade advancing her own agenda while Musk is preoccupied. I think you saw this with Twitter a lot more, where Jack was 80% of the time working at Square, or at least 80% of his net worth was at Square. That was a company he was building. I think there were a lot of things that were happening there by renegade people. My guess is Musk is much closer to a monarch of Twitter. And whatever Linda's doing, whatever her values are, whatever her affiliations send as a signal, are exactly what he wants sent to those people.
Well, there must
and
still be a couple of
unfortunately, those
stragglers.
Signals are not great for us.
Yeah,
those are positive signals intentionally being sent to people who are not at all who are enemies of ours. Yeah. So that's we got to deal with that reality, and we need to accept that. Twitter may become a more hostile place for us. It doesn't mean I'm going to abandon it, but we cannot put all our eggs in that basket, certainly.
Yeah. Well, I will say, you know, there are a few stragglers, obviously, left, these power-hungry, purple-haired freak shows that probably work in the San Francisco office for Twitter that are still, you know, I don't like this guy, so I'm going to flip this switch. They did it to me. Somebody did it to me. I had this, the content that you share, market sensitive. It was flipped on. I couldn't flip it off. It was grayed out. I didn't have the option. Many people tweeted about this. Musk finally personally got involved. And after saying he was investigating it, immediately my account was fixed. Well, I've got, you know, close to 400,000 Twitter followers. It's rising now again by about 1,500 a day. So the greasy, you know, or the squeaky wheel gets the grease, so they say, right? How many hundreds of thousands or millions of smaller accounts from my neighbors or my brother or, you know, my friend from church, how many of them are experiencing that same thing but don't have a squeaky enough wheel? So the censorship is going to continue. I mean, there's just absolutely no question. That's imminent. We really don't have a free speech platform. I would say other than Andrew Torba's gab, we don't really have a truly free speech platform. And so I think that the only way that we're going to be heard is when tens of millions of people are in the streets trying to save the lives of the children of this country and preserve the liberty that we once had or to restore our freedoms. We appreciate you being here. Nate Fisher, thank you so much.
Thank you, Stu.
Of course. So yesterday I was excited to tell you for the first time about Field of Greens, a brand new sponsor on our show. And I got to tell you, personally, I'm using the product. I've been on it for about 5 days now. And for the last 5 days, I have experienced immediate boosts in energy. You know, doctors tell you that you need 6 cups of fruits and veggies every day. Who in the hell has time for 6 cups of fruits and vegetables every day? Nobody does, or the desire for that matter. But according to a massive study, people who eat a healthy diet, 1, live longer, 2, have less heart disease and diabetes, and 3, have less cancer. So I take Field of Greens to help me stay healthy. This has been vastly researched. It works fast. If you're like me, you'll feel healthier, you'll have more energy, and it can help you lose weight, actually. Take Field of Greens, and at your next doctor's visit, if your doctor doesn't say something like, hey, whatever you're doing, it's working, keep it up, return it for a refund. That's how confident we are in Field of Greens. Plus, I negotiated with these people. I got you 15% off your first order, and you'll get another 10% off when you subscribe for reoccurring orders. Visit fieldofgreens.com and use promo code STEW. That's fieldofgreens.com, promo code STEW. We'll be right back.
What if I told you there was a hostile alien species that controls your appetite, sleep, and focus? Invaders that urinate and defecate throughout your body whenever they are hungry. We call them parasites, and they are the root cause of many health issues that result in pain, suffering, and death. The Purge is our solution. Purge Suddenly offers a unique blend of 17 detoxifying ingredients, including black walnut hull and wormwood, scientifically proven to not only kill parasites, but to destroy and flush them out. If you've never gone through a parasite cleanse or didn't do it the right way, our proven formula prepares you for a complete and total victory. Increased alertness, weight loss, and clear skin are just a few of the potential benefits customers have reported back. Kill the parasites, destroy their eggs, and build a big, beautiful wall inside your body to keep them out. It is time to purge suddenly. It's you or them. Make your move now.
We're seeing unprecedented criminal tax hikes, hyperinflation, a full-blown recession, and it's all part of the grand plan. The billions of dollars that Biden keeps sending to that corrupt, fake Ukraine. The trillions in new taxes that he wants to shove down your throat. The electronic banking system crash, resetting everybody to zero. Checking accounts, savings accounts, 401ks, IRAs, all of it, zero. But you don't have to be a victim. Protect your money and get up to $10,000 in free silver to do it when you call my friends at Goldco. Goldco has helped to protect over $2 billion in gold and silver for people like you and me. And now they're offering you up to $10,000 in bonus silver when opening a qualified IRA account just for being a supporter of the Stu Peters Show. So whether you want to protect your 50 grand or a half a million or even more, this is your opportunity to protect yourself from our out-of-control, corrupt corporate crime syndicate. Don't be a victim. Call Goldco, 855-706-GOLD. Again, 855-706-GOLD. Or go to goldco.com/Stu. Here's a question. You ever feel like your pain is holding you back? How many of you aren't able to go on a walk with your grandchildren because your knees hurt too much? This is the reality for millions of people over 50. They suffer from pain that can make it difficult to get around, to sleep, to enjoy life. But there is a brand new product that can help you get your life back. QE Strong Pain Patches are made with natural ingredients that are extremely safe, and they work. Just simply apply one patch to the affected area and you'll feel relief in minutes. If you're tired of living with pain, try QE Strong Pain Patches today. Go to QEStrong.com/Stu. Again, that's QEStrong.com/Stu. Welcome back. So anybody who's being honest with themselves internally, publicly, if you know the truth and you want to say the truth, we'll say the truth. Ever since 2020, law and order has absolutely collapsed in America's streets. Now, politicians all but publicly announced, we're no longer supporting law enforcement. And police got the memo. If you try to enforce the law yourself, you're going to be liable to be arrested and thrown into prison. Well, no matter how much they want to protect the public, cops aren't suicidal, of course. If they're told that they can sit in their squad cars doing nothing and get paid well, or on the flip side, risk their lives to protect the public and only be treated as villains in response, well, the vast majority are going to choose to sit in their squad cars, of course. Who could blame them? Well, now the criminals and predators of America's cities have realized the new world that they live in. So from 2019 through 2022, murder in America surged by more than a third. In some of our biggest cities, the murder rate went up 50% or even doubled. From 2002 to 2018, Portland, Oregon never had a year with more than 30 homicides. In 2021, they had 88 murders. But it's not just murders, of course. It's general anarchy that's making cities feel oppressive and unlivable. All over America, mobs of violent teenagers, most of them black, are taking over entire city blocks one at a time. They're blocking streets. They're terrorizing and robbing passersby. They're smashing up and looting stores. So as a result, your average blue city has become a war zone, basically indistinguishable from a Mad Max movie, as shown by this viral clip the other day from a street takeover in Atlanta. Now, most of these people will never face any consequences, which is why they do it. Even if they get arrested, in many cities, they simply get released without bail. If they blow off their court date, no big deal, no consequences. Criminals are just allowed to simply roam free until they finally commit a crime so heinous that even Democrats have to put them in prison. Dan Lyman is an independent journalist with Border Hawk News. Now, his work mostly focuses on the United States border, but in a way, the mayhem of our cities is a lot like the mayhem on our border. It's not caused by lack of money. It's not caused by a lack of manpower. No, it's caused exclusively by a lack of willingness to enforce the law. I want to hear more about Dan's perspective into that, and he joins us now. Dan Lyman, thank you so much for coming.
Great to be with you, Stu. Thank you very much. Yeah, I've been covering the rise of crime in the United States and also in Europe. I work for InfoWars. I run InfoWars Europe as well, and I've been living in Europe for a long time. I just got back to the United States last year, moved back here. You know, as the COVID insanity over there really hit a crescendo, I realized that I just needed to be on home turf. Now, what I had missed over the past 6 years, really with the exception of a few short visits, was the decay of the United States, especially, as you mentioned, since the onset of the COVID crisis. And what we saw in 2019 and 2020 was really the authoritarian power of the state and the ability for the state to ensure that people could not move, could not operate a certain way, couldn't just be decent law-abiding citizens out in public without wearing a diaper on their face or, of course, without taking an injection. So we saw that when they wanted control, they found it and they got it no problem and they seized that control. But we also saw that when they wanted to abdicate control, they were also able to do that. And we're seeing that in our cities now, and it's spilling over all over the country. It's not just in the major cities. So returning to the United States, I saw full-blown decay, chaos in the streets here, just filth everywhere. And so we're watching the collapse of the United States in real time. And the crazy thing is it's happening, you know, at the hands of very young people, of incompetent people, of weak people, of disgusting trash that has been allowed to just do whatever they want in the streets while law-abiding citizens kind of cower in fear and certainly don't do anything about it, or are you going to end up like Daniel Penny?
Yeah, so you said disgusting people, low-life people, degenerates, basically lawless criminals that are, you know, raping and pillaging and looting and robbing and burning and killing with impunity. But these are not the majority, right? I mean, in our country, by and large, we live amongst good people, no matter what their political ideology is and whether or not I disagree with them on their faith in Jesus Christ that they don't have, or if I want to lead them to Jesus Christ, which is obviously what we should do here. Christianity, morally upright people generally are who roam the streets as a majority. So how is it that the minority of people have been able to exert so much control over the majority?
Well, of course, we're living in a state of anarcho-tyranny right now. So we have decent law-abiding, like I said, working class, middle class, primarily citizens of this country are sandwiched between two criminal classes. We have the elites ruling above us, and we have the criminal filth ruling from below. And so we're caught in the middle. And of course, like I said, you're not allowed to do anything about it. So you just kind of have to watch it unfold. And of course, my advice to many Americans is get out of the cities. There are some people that argue we need to stick around and save these cities or fight for them. I say, absolute insanity. Get out of the cities. You're much more wanted out in the rural areas. And I've spent a lot of the last year and a half traveling around the rural areas of the United States. And as you mentioned, this country is full of decent, hardworking, many times Christian, conservative people who want nothing to do with this madness.
So, in essence, what you're saying is give up ground and then basically affect our own urban sprawl.
In a way, yes. And I think that it's important for health and sanity, too, to get out of these places, because there's no way you're going to thrive in the cities like Chicago or Los Angeles, New York, for sure. And many of the other cities, too, you know, Austin, Miami, they're all disasters. I say preserve yourself, preserve your family. Give up that ground for now, because eventually when these places have totally imploded, we can take the option to go back in and clean them back up.
These all used to be beautiful cities, by the way. You mentioned Miami, you mentioned Chicago, you mentioned Los Angeles. I mean, these are geographically, topography speaking, I mean, oceans and lakes, and of course, you know, Chicago. I mean, that place is just full of great entertainment, really good people by and large. There's a whole lot of money there. So, with that being said, what do we do to actually take it back? And other than waiting for them to implode, I mean, there's got to be something more immediate that we can do here. How about just enforcing the law?
If we really wanted to take it back, there would need to be the will to do so. And we see that will actually exists. We are able to look at El Salvador as a great test case. Nayib Bukele is cleaning up the streets there, but it takes a Herculean effort. And I have a vision for that effort that I would propose out there. You know, it's a little comical, but we're living in comical times. But I think essentially what we need, if an administration comes in that really wants to clean up the streets, they're going to have to tell these activist groups like the ADL and the ACLU to go pound sand, and we're going to clean these streets up. And what it looks like is, for the sake of conversation, we'll call it Operation Liberation. We'll liberate the cities. And what we'll do is we'll just have big, strong men. We'll bring them back from around the globe where they've been stationed unnecessarily for many years. We'll combine them with police forces. And also we'll do some recruiting. We'll send recruiters into all the gyms around America and grab up all the able-bodied men who would like to restore law and order and have them walking the streets, picking up the drug addicts, putting them in, let's say, rolling penitentiaries and collection cars, send them to camps and labor camps, deport the ones that are here illegally, and allow the ones that are willing and capable of rehabilitation to reenter society. But frankly, the matter is we have millions of people who do need to be locked up. We have an under-incarceration problem in this country. I think that if we wanted to, we could fix it. Unfortunately, there's no political will right now, but that political will might come down the pipeline.
If we could transcribe what you just said and write it down, that sounds like the policy of a Stu Peters presidential administration. However, I don't think that our country needs a president right now. I think that our country needs another William Wallace right now. You mentioned the ADL. That group should be designated as, you know, a terrorist organization and treated accordingly. And what about these street gangs? South side of Chicago, Los Angeles, the places that you mentioned, Miami. What about these violent street gangs? Couldn't a administration at the executive level just label these groups of people as enemy combatants?
100%, and that's why it needs to be a military operation in many cases. Everything needs to be treated differently. You have the streets of Philadelphia. We see these videos all the time. These are very weak, incapacitated people, most of them drug addicts. They just need to be carefully loaded and sent off to dry out and figure out if they're going to be able to return to society. But in the case of the street gangs, and in case of of roving mobs of hundreds of youths at the same time, they might not be officially in a gang, but they're participating in crime in the same manner. We need to go and round them up. They need to be rooted out of their homes. They need to be rooted out of their meeting places or wherever it is that they gather. These street takeovers require military response as well. And they just need to be taken away. And we need to figure out what to do with them and how long they need to serve in prison, if it's for a few years or for the rest of their lives.
What do we do about the current state of law enforcement? Is there anything that we can do? I mean, because obviously at the top of these administrations, at most of these larger cities, Minneapolis, here where I am included, you have basically a communist approach to law enforcement, allow the criminals to roam free, make sure that you persecute, white, upstanding, law-abiding citizens, and then that way we can mark ourselves safe from being labeled as a racist on social media, and we can avoid police brutality. And the people that are cheering this on mostly are middle-aged white women.
Absolutely. Well, what needs to happen is that, you know, the brass, the top brass, the suits, the DAs, the police chiefs, they all need to be re-examined. They need to be rooted out, because they're the ones that, of course, give the directives to decent cops to who just feel like they have their hands tied. We probably should examine a lot of the officers who have retired in the last couple of years or have left service early, find out why it is they actually did that, because probably a lot of them disagreed with the way that policing was being carried out. And of course, we can't have social justice warriors in the police ranks, and they need to be replenished. A lot of them probably need to be paid a lot better. And so all this money that's going to Ukraine right now, we could probably redirect that into the pockets of upstanding and solid law enforcement in the United States.
Couldn't agree more. And some of these brass that you mentioned, and DAs and chiefs, sheriffs, by doing what they're doing intentionally, they are allowing for murder, for killing to happen in their streets and in neighborhoods, home invasions, you know, people are ending up dead. And so that makes them an accessory to murder. And it's not just one or two. It's not a one-off. It's happening systematically. Like, you look at Chicago. And so people like Lori Lightfoot and her police chief there in the upper brass administration, the Chicago Police Department, are basically accessory to mass murder. And these people, alongside Tony Fauci and Bill Gates, should be tried at Nuremberg too, in my opinion.
Absolutely. 100% agree.
We appreciate it. Dan Lyman, thank you so much. Come back soon, would you?
Will do.
At some point, we've all been sold a big lie, including yours truly. It's called the protein lie. Starting in the 1980s, supplement companies began pushing massive protein consumption. We all believed that more protein equaled more muscle growth. I'm here to tell you that's a big fat lie. No surprise. Let's say that you eat an 8-ounce chicken breast. You're consuming about 40 grams of protein. However, just because something contains 40 grams of protein doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to absorb all 40 grams. No, without enzymes, most of it ends up in your toilet bowl. So if you don't have a sufficient supply of enzymes to digest the protein, your muscles will be starving for those vital building blocks. That's why it's crucial that you take a high-quality enzyme. The one that I trust and use myself is called Masszymes by Bioptimizers. Masszymes is a full-spectrum enzyme formula with more proteins than any other commercially available, with 5 different kinds of proteins. You can try it today, risk-free. Their 365-day full money-back guarantee is the gold standard in the industry. When you go to bioptimizers.com/stew, be sure to enter the coupon code STEWPETERS10 to get an extra 10% off of your order at bioptimizers.com/stew.
Taxation is theft, especially when your money is used to fund evil.
Wear a mask. Get boosted.
Corona hoax, mass deception, America controlled by fear. Good news, there's another way. You can stop paying for the crimes and cover-up today through Freedom Law School.
The best thing you can do, according to the IRS's own official auditors, is to stop filing and paying income taxes.
Based on the government's official websites, there is no law requiring 99% of Americans to file and pay income tax. See the proof for yourself on freedomlawschool.org. Don't wait to drain the DC swamp. Start your journey to freedom from IRS deception, robbery, and slavery. Starve out the problem. Weaponize your earnings. Defund the swamp and fund the truth and freedom movement today. Go to livefreenow.org and restore the freedom we all miss.
Heart disease, blood clots, strokes, kidney failure. These can all be found on the back of an ibuprofen bottle, listed as side effects. And to top it all off, ibuprofen doesn't even get to the main cause of your pain and swelling problems. It's only temporary relief. It's only masking the true problem, which is inflammation. It's not only ineffective, it's expensive and downright dangerous, especially for seniors to be popping ibuprofen pills. That's why researchers are saying to add this Antarctic super nutrient to your diet. These are omega-3 fatty acids sourced from wild-caught krill. The omega-3 content from krill oil has been shown to support healthy blood pressure, circulation, brain health, as well as reduce inflammation, swelling, and joint pain. In fact, it can outperform ibuprofen, Advil, and Tylenol. And it doesn't have the dangerous side effects mentioned above either. Better yet, for a limited time, you can grab Native Path Antarctic Krill Oil for as low as $23 a bottle. Just go to stopmyinflammation.com right now to get your special offer for being a part of my audience. Stopmyinflammation.com. So everybody knows that these kangaroo court Banana Republic cases against Donald Trump hold absolutely no merit, no weight at all whatsoever. They're completely made up charges, from Alvin Bragg to what we're seeing in Georgia. But of course, all of the charges against peaceful January 6th demonstrators are made up in a kangaroo sham court trial anyways, many of them without a trial, no due process at all whatsoever. So we understand that we live with the absence of the rule of law. It doesn't matter to our enemy whether or not we've actually committed criminal offenses or not. You just make one up. But if President Trump somehow escapes these sham trials and does not spend time in prison, possibly the rest of his life, what they're looking for, if he escapes assassination, we have to ask ourselves, if he becomes president again, would a second Donald Trump presidency be better than the first? Now, the answer to that question basically comes down to two things. First, will Trump resist the globalist big pharma complex? Will he reject all future lockdowns and vaccine mandates and hold the murderers of 2020 accountable for what they did? And second, will Trump actually fully secure the border and swiftly enact mass deportations of America's illegal immigrants? Now, we talked a bit about Trump's immigration plans just the other day, but it's time that we explored this in even more detail. First time around, there wasn't really much detail to Trump's immigration agenda. Build a wall, Mexico will pay for it. It was simple. It was elegant. It appealed to masses of people. But of course, there's a downside to simple and elegant also. When the time came for Trump to actually enact his plan, he and his team didn't know how. At first, the plan was to get Congress to appropriate the money and have it built. After all, there was a Republican House and a Republican Senate, but there was just one problem with that. Well, two, actually. The majority leader of the Senate was Mitch McConnell, the Turtle Lord, and the Speaker of the House was Paul Ryan. They had no interest in securing the border, but they did have an interest in deflecting and dissembling and in derailing the Trump presidency. So that's exactly what they did. It took 2 years for the Trump team to even realize that they weren't going to get help from the fake Republicans in Congress and that they would have to do it themselves. By the time they really figured it all out and how to do it, the term was over. So the first term wasn't what it could have been. But in theory, a second term could be better, a whole lot better. And recently, Trump did unveil his immigration plan. If he follows through with this, it's an incredibly strong one. In the words of Axios, which is by no means a pro-Trump publication, Trump's plan would amount to, quote, unprecedented restrictions on immigration and the border. Excellent. Here's some of the highlights. First, Trump is radically expanding basic screening for who's admitted into the country. That seems logical and simple enough. Decades ago, during the Cold War, we barred communists from coming to America, as we should have. Well, Trump says he's going to bring back that in a big way and screen all immigrants who follow Marxist ideologies from entering America. Good. Perfect. Who can argue with that? I mean, sure, that kind of screening could be tough. But an easy stop is to simply bar immigration by anybody who studied left-wing nonsense in any university. We have enough postmodernists and enough critical race theorists and enough Frankfurt schoolers. Keep them all out. Now, Trump also says that he'll expand his travel ban to bar even more people from even more countries from coming to the United States because, shocker, it turns out we have basically nothing to gain by letting the country be flooded by people from Chad or Afghanistan or whatever other shithole has 10 million people eager to come here to leech off of our overstretched taxpayers and cause mayhem and blow up cities. Trump is also planning to have the United States Navy do something radical. He's going to actually have them protect America's naval approaches rather than the naval approaches of Taiwan or Japan or Britain or some other far off country. Trump's plan is to build up a full-on naval blockade south of the United States to shut down smuggling activities by the Latin American cartels. And speaking of the cartels, there's another part of this plan. We talked about enemy combatants before. The cartels in Mexico and elsewhere are going to be declared enemy combatants. Now, we didn't discuss this in a previous segment, but what that means is they don't get treated just as criminal justice problems. No, they're treated as a military one, meriting military solutions. No more spending in special forces to arrest drug kingpins and drag them back to the United States for some show trial in a comfy cell. No, now we're going to be using drones and special forces to eliminate these subhuman monsters permanently. Blow them up. Put a bullet in their brains. Excellent. Now, if we do arrest them, we could use tactics like shipping them to Gitmo, Guantanamo Bay, for indefinite detention. Trump also says he'll issue an executive order making it clear that the 14th Amendment does not grant birthright citizenship. Finally, he will abolish this farce of illegals hopping just over the border or tourists flying into Saipan so they can pump out another anchor baby who benefits from lifelong U.S. citizenship. Trump says he'll use an obscure but still a very enforced part of the 1798 Alien and Sedition Acts to swiftly deport migrants who join gangs or commit other criminal activities. Because, yes, right now the Biden administration makes it a priority to keep these criminals in America so they can rape and rob and kill Americans. And needless to say, he says that this time he'll resume building the wall immediately, and this time it will get done. So will all of this work? Well, at minimum, he's making the right enemies. According to the American Immigration Council, a pro-Great Replacement operation whose leaders should honestly be rounded up and shot for treason, Trump's plan will create, quote, an assembly line deportation machine. That's great, if true. But can it happen? Will it happen? See, this is the crucial question. And it's all important because the crisis is immense. Undocumented crossings at the United States-Mexico border for 2022 was above 2.75 million. And that's just Mexico. There are, in fact, thousands of people who illegally cross from Canada. Maybe a wall should go there, too. There's hundreds of thousands of illegal immigrants who simply overstay tourist or student visas. Right now, none of them are being deported. The Biden administration wants the entire planet to live here. In fact, the other day, the New York Post reported that Biden has quite literally opened the floodgates for migrants into America. Quote, U.S. officials have inexplicably welded open 114 massive floodgates along the Arizona border to allow water to flow freely during the annual monsoon season and for the migration of an endangered species of antelope, officials said. But the move is also letting an average of 1,400 migrants from as far away as China, and they are coming from China, casually just walk into the country daily, with overwhelmed and outnumbered border agents practically helpless to stop them. Unquote. The crisis is here, and it's massive. It's entirely fitting that Donald Trump is promising radical action because the only most radical action imaginable could possibly remedy what's been allowed to happen in this country. But will Trump deliver? Wendy Rogers is an Arizona state senator, an immigration hawk, and longtime Trump supporter, and she joins us now. Wendy, thank you so much for coming. We certainly appreciate having you. Great friend of the program and obviously personal friend as well. So what say you about all things Trump and, most importantly, immigration, this crisis that we're facing right now?
Well, great to be with you, Stu. I'm at home in Flagstaff, and we were in session, actually, incredibly, the longest ever, until the 31st of July. We're a part-time legislature, but that speaks to the need that we had to stay in session to rein in the overreach of the illegitimate Hobbs in the seat. And as we speak, there are still numerous court actions, litigation that the Arizona Senate specifically is supporting and effectively kind of acting like a state attorney general. I loved your rundown just now. That Axios article really put a lift in my step yesterday when that came out. I retweeted it. My husband and I were on the road visiting grandchildren, and we were driving back across the vast West, and I saw that, and I just immediately retweeted it. And what really sort of struck me was the specificity that President Trump laid all this out.
Yeah, which is different than the first time around.
Right. And it's really genius. You know, I say this to people almost daily. He plays kind of a higher order chess and a sort of in-your-face resilience than even I would have imagined him doing. And so by doing this, I think he has really sounded the clarion call on what he will do. And the more they bear down on him, the more his popularity goes up and the more specific he gets on what he will do when elected.
So what about the idea of enemy combatants? I mean, you're a veteran, United States Air Force. What do you think about this enemy combatant treatment of these gangs and drug cartels? I mean, will we really use a military to drone bomb these people and shoot them in the head?
We need to. They are enemy combatants. I represent a district that includes northern Arizona, and I'm already hearing stories from my constituents who go to the county sheriff because they have no one else to go to about these white, windowless transport vans and buses that are careening through northern Arizona, carrying migrants here, there, and everywhere. I witnessed myself one night 2 weeks ago visiting in Sholo, Arizona, a van picking up people from a hotel that's known to house illegal migrants in the dead of night. We were across the street watching this, the three of us, migrants, ostensibly they, getting into a van, going next door to a Circle K convenience store, then switching into another van and going wherever. So we sauntered across the street and asked the convenience store counter operator what she thought was going on. And she said it was suspect and that she was going to sort of keep an eye on it. This kind of thing is happening all over my state and God only knows in other states.
So let's talk about you were briefing me on other issues that have been happening. And, you know, these are matters of great importance. You're very well educated in these. And, we have a vast audience reaching tens of millions of people now every day. So I want you to educate people about the bottom line truth, what's happening here, not only in your state, but across the country, the things of breaking importance that you were messaging me about earlier this morning.
Well, first of all, I messaged a lot of people, including family, about a really winsome interview done by Colonel Douglas McGregor with Tucker Carlson on sort of the 30,000 foot look of what is happening globally and this intended sort of takeover of Western democracies. And what I see more close to home is the implementation of that, especially in my state. You have an election that was clearly stolen from Carrie Lake, yet she is indefatigable. And I'll see her this Saturday. We'll be at an event up here in my district in Payson, Arizona, and I'll be reconnecting with her personally. I talk to her frequently. And what I enjoy and appreciate about Carrie is that she is going around the nation exposing the fraud and corruption in our elections. And to her and to me, this is the most important issue of the day because everything flows from that. If you have a corrupt and stolen election, you are going to reap those horrible results.
So what do we do about that? Okay, so I commend Carrie as well. Anybody who's out there actually exposing real election fraud, because it exists, everybody knows that. If you're being honest, you know that that these elections are fraudulent. We don't have elections. We have selections. We have installations. I mean, that's just what's happening. Right. So what do we do about it?
Well, we're continuing to fight for her part, and I talk to her attorneys fairly regularly. She still has very vibrant cases working their way through the system.
Yeah, but does that matter? Because we have a corrupt judiciary.
Well, I think it'll end up at the United States Supreme Court, and the word we have is that they want an election case. And if you say to me, well, Wendy, that wouldn't even come to pass until December, January, February, March, I understand that. But that's still enough time for her to be installed as the rightful governor. But also, all these truths are still coming out. The data sets that show all the different anomalies and avenues of the fraud and corruption, all of that is coming out. Also, there's a lawsuit against her for defamation by Stephen Richard, the county recorder. The response to that will allow discovery. And that discovery, again, will bring out more truth. And I also just got a text at my request from answer from Abe Hamaday, who you may remember would be the Arizona Attorney General, but that election was stolen also, and he allegedly lost by only 200 votes out of 1.something million votes cast. So he asked for a retrial because 9,000 provisional ballots still have not been counted. And I have a family member who's one of those. And so it's shown that of those 9,000, likely because of where they're from and who they represent, likely 75% of those will be Republican. So he is merely asking for a retrial so that votes, ballots not yet counted can be counted. And thus he would be installed as the rightful attorney general. That is something we're working very hard. Now, you understand with Carrie's cases and with Abe's case, you have research communities pouring through, teasing out all these meaningful strains of data. There's a lot, everyone, you need to understand this. We are working assiduously hard in Arizona to uncover and highlight the fraud. And we have another situation that I've been pursuing. You know, I get sort of peppered with these little detractive sentences, comments from people. Oh, Wendy, you know, you're not working hard. You don't understand. There is a whole nother push where we've been, and we talked about this on your show before. I have been now to 4 out of 15 counties in Arizona to the boards of supervisors with my colleague, Senator Sonny Borelli, who's also retired military, also a rural senator. He and I have gone to 4 counties now, presented and said that our Senate concurrent resolution 1037, which stipulates going back to paper essentially because the machines can't be counted on because they can't ascribe to DOD security standards. And we tell these counties, these boards of supervisors, this is up to you, the implementers of elections, to do what's right and to go back to paper. And don't tell us that it's not doable because of logistics or you can't get enough manpower in the amount of time required to be able to count the ballots. That is all not true. And so what we have found, by the way, since I was last on your show, those who are against this whole notion of accountability and going back to, say, paper ballots on the day in the precinct being counted before being forwarded to the voting centers where all the mischief occurs, by the way, that whole resistance, that isn't coming from the elected supervisors. In each case, it's either 5 supervisors or 3. Guess where that resistance is coming from? The county attorney, the county recorder, the county elections director. These are bureaucrats who are not, who don't have this, the interest of the people. They are there to further their stay in office year after year. One of my counties has a county recorder who's been there, I think, 30 years. And I'm coaching a person who's running against her. This is sort of, I guess you could say, my calling, where I help people at that level because that's where the rubber meets the road. And so that's where we, Borelli and I, for example, in one vein, have been sort of circuit riding, journeying to these, and everything's a 3-hour drive for me. And so, you know, we go out, we spend the day, we deal with these people, and we show them that this can be done and that it is up to them to lead.
You know, where I think the rubber meets the road is with Americans. I think, you know, regular people, people who want their country back. The judiciary has failed us. We've seen the judiciary fail Kerry Lake. You say that the Supreme Court wants an election case. Well, they've had plenty of election cases. They're failing to hear them or just shoving them out the window. What makes Kerry Lake's different? And by the way, if she is installed, as you say, as the legitimate governor, what about Hobbs? Will she be arrested? Will all of the people who committed these crimes actually be held criminally accountable?
I want to see that.
Speaking of enemy combatants, that's what these people are. They have taken over a country. They have effected a Marxist coup d'etat. These are the real insurrectionists who have committed sedition, seditious conspiracy to overthrow the government. A government that, by the way, is designed to be representative of the people and is now cracking down on and crushing the people, oppressive to our God-given inherent and inalienable rights. And the Constitution directs us, says basically you would be derelict in your duties as Americans if you did not approach that government, expect them to address you, and if they don't listen, then you need to abolish that form of government by any means necessary and replace it with a form of government that is representative of the people and operates in the best interests of freedom and individual liberty and prosperity. So when or if the Supreme Court shoots this down, and I've got 1 minute left, what do the people do?
The people keep doing what they're doing. This is why you see the heat being turned up against Trump, against state legislators, against colleagues of mine who are supposed fake electors. I have 2 state Senate colleagues who are among those in Arizona who expect to be indicted along with President Trump in Arizona. this is why the heat is being turned up, because of two things. One, the juggernaut that is pushing forward of us conservatives winning the arguments and winning the day. And number two, it's because all these truths are coming out. And so those two things augur for this momentum that I feel that is burgeoning and coming up. And now you have even more resistance. They are running out of options. They're trying to have it to where President Trump can't be on the primary ballot in various states because they realize the indictments aren't working. And so they're sort of doing these Hail Marys, I think, here in the waning, 9-10 months of this 2024 cycle. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's some kind of, effort to not even have an election in 2024.
Yeah, the elections have become a distraction. We have this new pandemic that's here.
Right.
There's all kinds of different excuses. The aliens are coming. The elections are a distraction. We're just going to do away with them until, we can restore this nation. And I can just hear it right now. Anarchy in the streets. We have to bring back, peace to our country before we have elections. The judiciary has failed us. The legal process has failed us. The voting process has failed us. The legal process has failed us. And so I think that right now what Americans need to be exploring is our extra legal options. Wendy Rogers, we love you so much. Thank you for coming back and hope to see you again soon.
God bless America.
What if I told you there was a hostile alien species that controls your appetite, sleep, and focus? Invaders that urinate and defecate throughout your body whenever they are hungry. We call them parasites, and they are the root cause of many health issues that result in pain, suffering, and death. The Purge is our solution. Purge Suddenly offers a unique blend of 17 detoxifying ingredients, including black walnut hull and wormwood, scientifically proven to not only kill parasites, but to destroy and flush them out. If you've never gone through a parasite cleanse or didn't do it the right way, our proven formula prepares you for a complete and total victory. Increased alertness, weight loss, and clear skin are just a few of the potential benefits customers have reported back. Kill the parasites, destroy their eggs, and build a big, beautiful wall inside your body to keep them out. It is time to purge suddenly. It's you or them. Make your move now.
Everybody now knows that we live in an upside-down clown world under an empire of lies, a murderous regime. So previously, it may have sounded crazy, but I'm sure you won't be surprised to learn that liberals are very upset that people like me are advertising the Vanish holster. They cannot stand how this holster has helped get more Americans armed than ever before. What's so special about this Vanish holster, you might ask? Well, simple. It is the most comfortable holster ever. The most comfortable holster I've ever worn. I have plenty of experience, 15 years in bounty hunting, lots of experience with holsters and firearms. And when you get a Vanish holster, you'll never stop carrying because you'll forget you're even wearing it. Plus, the Vanish holster saves you money. That's because it fits 99% of all semi-auto handguns. It works without a tactical belt. It lets you carry in multiple positions. It carries two fully loaded magazines. And best of all, because you're a viewer of this program, you get it for $50 off. I am told that this discount is set to expire soon, so kick in your special pricing. Lock it in right now. Go to vanish.com/stew. That's VNSH.com/stew. VNSH.com/stew. It's all back for the money-back guarantee, and I believe them when they say it's the only holster that you'll ever need because it's the last one that you'll ever buy. Vanish.com/stew right now, today, before this discount expires. We are seeing unprecedented criminal tax hikes, hyperinflation, a full-blown recession, and it's all part of the grand plan. The billions of dollars that Biden keeps sending to that corrupt, fake Ukraine. The trillions in new taxes that he wants to shove down your throat. The electronic banking system crash, resetting everybody to zero. Checking accounts, savings accounts, 401ks, IRAs, all of it, zero. But you don't have to be a victim. Protect your money and get up to $10,000 in free silver to do it when you call my friends at Goldco. Goldco has helped to protect over $2 billion in gold and silver for people like you and me. And now they're offering you up to $10,000 in bonus silver when opening a qualified IRA account just for being a supporter of the Stu Peters Show. So whether you want to protect your 50 grand or a half a million or even more, this is your opportunity to protect yourself from our out-of-control, corrupt corporate crime syndicate. Don't be a victim. Call Goldco, 855-706-GOLD. Again, 855-706-GOLD, or go to goldco.com/stew.